Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, Sean, and with me today, well, take a peek into his world, I guess. It's Dan Allen, everyone. Woo! Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, John. I hope you'll have me back after this episode.
Oh, I will. So, all right. So we're here today to talk about, okay, so is this a music video? What is this exactly?
It was a pairing with their album, and parts of it were made into music videos.
Okay.
For the album. Yeah.
So we're here today to talk about Skullhead Face from 1994 question mark. At the end of the movie, it said 93, so I'm not sure. Early 90s. The screenplay is by David Brockie, Don Gralulik, Hunter Jackson, Scott Krall, and Melanie Mandel. Music and lyrics, for the most part, by Dave Brockie, Mike Bishop, and Mike Dirks. Although, okay, we're going to have to put a pin in that for a hot second. It was directed by Melanie Mandel, who I looked up, and she did a lot of their videos and other... She was, like, part of the band as well.
Part of the crew, yep.
And according to Keith Tyler on IMDb, because there is no real summary, so a fan had to write this... Gwar, the bloodthirsty alien antiheroes, conduct a worldwide telethon to feed souls to the world maggot, which will transport the members of Gwar off our miserable planet once it grows. Gwar's telecast attract the attentions of Glomko, the world's monopolistic entertainment giant. Glomko attempts to bribe Gwar's manager, Sleazy P. Martini, into selling Gwar out to the mainstream of Sunday morning cartoons. Gwar's revenge on the sniveling executives at Glomko uncovers a dastardly plot to homogenize all humanity by evil Dr. Skullhead Face. Oh my god. So is that what I watched?
Yeah, I mean that's like the first half, so yeah.
Honestly, at the end I was just like, what the fuck did I just watch? There's blood, there's buttholes, there's dicks, there's vagina mouths, there's everything, but funny at some points, which I was not expecting.
Now, are you in any way experienced in the world of Gwar?
So, this is my limited experience of Gwar, watching Empire Records.
Yes.
And so watching this scene makes sense
way
to me.
Way more sense, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Because I now, so watching them in Empire Records, they're a little silly, but they're like, you know, it's a hallucination because the character Mark is high as fuck. And so he imagines himself there, and there's like another puppet that eats him on stage, if I remember correctly.
But the world maggot.
Oh, it is the world maggot.
Eating him. Yeah. See, it's all ties together.
Oh my god. So yeah, that is my limited knowledge. And so to me, I thought Gwar was like a little more serious. I didn't realize they were so cartoony in a way.
Yeah.
In their way. Yep.
Yes. They are very, very campy. Like that's their whole shtick. I have seen Gwar twice. I try to go see them anytime that I can, because it is just like some of the greatest, like their stage show is just phenomenal.
I believe I asked you this when you were telling me about this movie. Do they switch out artists for the characters, or is it like one artist, one character?
Yeah, no, they have switched out characters. So like for instance, Beefcake the Mighty is still in the band, but their lead singer, who is Blother the Barbarian, used to be Beefcake the Mighty. Now they have retired characters. They retired Odorous Urungus, who was their lead vocalist, because David Brockie died back in 2014. And when he died, their lore stated that he went back to Planet Scumdoggia.
That's
So I
actually
think that
pretty.
was kind of their way of sending him off.
That's a really nice though that they weren't recasting him. They were like, we recognize the artistry of the person, and we're going to obviously fill the void in a way, but like make it a new character with a new person. That's nice. I like that for the it, they seem from the minimal knowledge and from watching this, at least they seem like a family in a way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They are. They're all very, very tight. And like you said about the director, like she's done a ton of stuff with them. They have like a sort of like circle, and all of the stuff that they do kind of like th it's that group of folks that do, you know, their things together. So they have a ton of side characters that aren't in the band proper. Like for instance, the Sexecutioner is not a band member, but that is a friend of theirs who is a regular contributor to, you know, their stage show and to their films and stuff.
So then, Slymenstra Hyman, is she part of the band? Or is she?
She is not part of the band. She's another one that's sort of like when they need to bring in like a female character, she's kind of their female character.
Okay. So they have the band, and then they have their cast for their music videos, movies. Because I read that there is another movie that they had.
Oh, they have like six movies.
Oh, great. Oh, good. I know what you're picking next.
You know, whatever I'm allowed to do. I this one, I was like, this might ruin my relationship with John, but I hope not. I hope he sees the fun in it.
Oh my God, this there was fun. There was some things that obviously I had issues with because we'll get to flats, but it's fascinating because doing this podcast, I know I say that we're in the land of musicals and all that, but like, I mean, we tend to redefine what a musical is. This one, there's not a lot of music. There's not a lot of songs. I mean, it's listed that there's a lot of songs, but I don't know when they happened. I mean, I
Yeah, because they
had.
weren't like front and center. Like there is the soliloquy of
There is.
Skullhead Face. That is the
Yes.
one sort of like number in the film. But there are a lot of scenes that are extended scenes with music from the album, sort of like backing them. But there are not, to your point, like there are not a lot of scenes that are like numbers like you would think in a traditional
Well,
musical.
it's not just that. It's also, I literally do not know when these songs happen.
I
So I'm
don't know that
like,
all the songs on the album happen in the movie.
this is what I found on the interwebs. So somebody like Wikipedia lied to me, shocker of all shocks. But I mean, I did have not only the YouTube on my laptop playing the movie, but then I used my phone to go to YouTube to look up some of the songs. So like I know Eat Steel was the song that was playing when they were killing all the executives at Glomco.
Yeah, the fight in the boardroom.
But the one song I wish I knew was when, okay. Hold on. I need to go to the Wikipedia page for Skullhead Face to get the actual wording correct for this. So when Skullhead Face fights Gwar with the flesh column, I don't know what song that was, but like that's the one that I enjoyed as well.
I don't know which song that is. My personal favorite song, or my favorite scene with the song in the movie, is the issue of tissue, which plays during their sort of like Last Supper style scene. Like it's kind of laid out like the Last Supper, but it's
The
during their
telethon.
telethon. Yeah, it's about halfway through the movie. So they've already had the boardroom fight. Skullhead face has already been revealed, and then they cut back to this. It's here, what are some notable parts of that scene? Oh, okay. So they grab the head and they pull the top of the head off, dump the brains out, and then evacuate some bowels into the head for somebody who wants to eat on the go. So add that to one of your quotes.
Done. Because this movie, I mean, obviously they're having fun, but was so you and you know them more because you went to their concerts and you've listened to their music. So is this like a concept album that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that all of their albums are generally concept albums. I mean, they are like their whole thing is like this lore that they have a whole story, you know, and like the album sort of progressed that story. And like you can get the I mean, there's a Gwar wiki. Like you can not a Wikipedia page, like a Gwar wiki with all the different characters and the different like places and like the different events. Like, did you know that Gwar, the reason that human beings exist is because of Gwar?
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
So Gwar was this group of miscreant aliens who did not listen to their master, and so he threw them to the dirt ball on the farthest reaches of the galaxy, aka Earth. They eventually got bored, and so of course, like anyone that's bored would do, they started having sex with the apes, and we are the result of Gwar banging apes. So there
So
you go.
then in Skullhead Face, when Sleazy P. Martini, which I'm assuming is another character in their world,
He's their manager.
when he tells the backstory of how he found Gwar, so are we saying that Gwar was frozen because of the Ice Age?
So no, this is what happened. All right.
Okay,
I
great.
so I've got this for you. Don't worry, John. All right. So
You are my
here's
Sherpa. I'm ready.
So the master sent someone out following after Gwar from planet Skullhead, not Skullhead but face planet Scumdoggia, right? Because Gwar at that point had killed all the dinosaurs. They had killed and eaten all the dinosaurs, which
And
is
had
how
sex
the
with the
dinosaurs went
apes.
extinct. And then had yes. And so the master was like, this is not okay. We need to like go rein these guys in and bring them home. Well, this guy that was supposed to get them crashed on the moon. And then he slowly was able to make his way from the moon to Earth. But in the meantime, to keep them under control until he got here, he cast a spell on them that froze them in Antarctica. And it was only through the cocaine that they got from Sleazy P. Martini that they were able to be released from that spell and return to, you know, shred face in the world.
Okay, so the members
Obviously,
of
obviously.
obviously, so the members of Gwar are sounding like they are theater nerds who are also into D&D.
Okay.
Because
Yeah. So, okay. You know that line in the movie, right?
which one?
Okay. So
There were
what you
so
said
many.
is basically a line in the movie, which is really funny. And I was m considering this as one of my sharps, but it's relevant here, so I want to talk about it here. So at some point when Sleazy P. Martini is in the boardroom, right, and they're trying to offer him money, he says something along he says I not along the lines, I actually have it verbatim, I wrote it down, all right, because he's offended by the low ball offer they made. He says, this ain't your typical poser band whipped up by a bunch of D&D playing art school flunkies, which is exactly what Gwar is, by the way.
Yeah, because I'm assuming they made their own costumes.
They did, which is another great line in the boardroom scene, right? Where he's like, we'll see how your styrofoam costumes and rubber
Rubber
swords hold
swords.
up to real weapons.
And that, well, real steel or something like that, because that's when it goes to eat steel. And that's when I was
Yes,
just like,
yes.
oh, I think I hear a saw. But like, oh my God, because they are creating. So you're saying that every album is a story, and I'm assuming it just continues, or is it like every album is an adventure of the band Gwar?
I mean, I don't want to make any promises about continuity. Like, that's not their top priority, but I would say that there is a general, like, flow of storyline, which does not just include albums, it includes movies and it includes comic books as well.
Oh my God.
So,
They
yes,
have.
they are a multimedia sensation.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. I'm gonna need to lie down after this one. They wow. They you know what? They are very smart, I will say, as a band. Because they're doing something very original. I can't think of any other band that is doing some heavy lore like this throughout their lifetime. Because, like you said, even when was it Dave Brocky who
Yeah,
unfortunately
Dave
passed
Brocky.
away, when they created a whole like, okay, now we need to figure out how to do a funeral for our characters, and so it would, yeah. So then watching this, everything now, I think I needed you to make some context for me.
Yeah, I really sent you in there with like not a shred
Nothing.
of information, and that was probably not fair.
I finished it and then I went, okay, let's read the plot summary, the story on Wikipedia, because what did I just fucking watch? And then actually, I was kind of reading it along as the movie was going, and so I spoiled the big reveal that Skullhead Face is a woman.
Yeah, she
And I was
is.
just like, what? Although, okay, Skullhead Face. Is that supposed to be a butthole on her on the forehead, or is that a dick?
Oh yeah. No,
That
that's a butthole. That's a
is a
butthole
butthole.
for sure.
Okay.
Which you can tell better when she goes to her like more alive form,
Well, when
right?
she goes to the alive form and then white goo comes out of it, I was like, semen?
Yes.
But coming out of a butt?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. And then there's Flopsy,
Yeah, Flopsy, wild, right?
which I'm pretty sure I watched some gay shit happen in that elevator, and I'm a little here for it. Between
Is it
Flopsy and Beefcake the Mighty.
Yeah. Is it which who is now their lead singer, by the way? But is it gay shit if the dude's face is a vagina?
Well, I didn't know it was a vagina at first. I thought he was just mutilated. And then when Beefcake the Mighty decides to fist Flopsy in the mouth,
Yeah,
and I'm using
unfortunately to
mouth
death.
in air quotes, to death, yes. I was like, oh, that's a vagina. Okay. And then I read on the Wikipedia page and it's like, oh, it says vagina. Great.
Or like when Beefcake likes to nuzzle Flopsy's nose.
Well, I mean, I was like, okay, so you're not only making fun of everyone and everything. I'm pretty sure they're making fun of MTV this whole time.
Oh yeah. Their TV station is absolutely mocking
That and the
MTV.
commercials,
Oh
like coming in at the
yes.
most inopportune time. There is a line where it's like, we are legally obligated to cut away to commercials at the
At the
most
worst.
at the worst timing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's clearly MTV, and they're clearly making fun of children's commercials or commercials geared towards kids, especially with
The sperm
sperm
and slide.
slide.
Yes, semen not included. The mom and dad, they're like getting splashed with it while they're
They get a
watching.
bukkake. Yeah, they do. Yeah, if you're wondering if that happens in this, yes, it does.
Do. It
Everything
do.
happens in this.
It sure does.
You I mean, the fact that it starts with a kid committing suicide is bonkers as well.
Yeah, and then it's like, hey, don't just kill yourself. Come to our telethon and kill yourself here so we can donate you to the World Maggot. Because, like, you know, make it worth it at least.
And then the kid comes back to life, and nobody questions that he has blood all over him and everything.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly reasonable. In you know, listen, you gotta work within the framework of the world that you built. All right, John.
And oh my God, I don't know.
I don't know. That's the right response.
I don't.
That's the
Well,
right response.
so the people, so the members of Guar, the actual people in the
Yeah.
costumes and everything, they are
Wait, what?
only.
No, there's no people in costumes. Guar.
Sorry.
Come on, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, go ahead.
They are only playing those characters, right? Because in the boardroom, it kind of felt like there were some people who,
Oh, who may have been band members,
yeah,
like sort of doubling up.
or in the world of Guar, not necessarily just the band members, but other characters. So I don't know if you've read or know anything about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think they doubled up at all, but I can't say for sure. Like, you can't find a cast list for this whatever this was. But
Oh,
I do know.
I
Oh,
mean
did you
there
find one?
well there's IMDb that says that Jello Biafra,
Yeah,
it plays
Jello Biafra, the
Biafra,
lead
yeah.
singer of Dead Kennedys. Yeah.
Right. And then obviously Sebastian Bach makes a cameo as
Oh, I
itself.
love Sebastian Bach in this.
It looks like they only talk about in the credits the people some people in the commercials as well as the they have Guar as themselves, and then like they
Yep.
mention Slymenstra Hyman as herself, Stretch as themselves, Flatus Maximus as themselves. So like the selves are in there, which you're like, okay. So we're really going with once you're in the costume, you're it.
You are that person. That's right. Listen, man, like Beefcake the Mighty has a Wikipedia page. All right. Odorous Urungus has a Wikipedia page.
Slymaster
So
Hyman has a Wikipedia page as
see,
well.
they all have their own, because once you're in the costume, you are, well, even I shouldn't even say that, right? Well, no, that is true. Because once you're in the costume, you are the character, which is why, like, you know, for instance, who's a good example of this? I mean, Ballsack is a great example. That character has been a part of been a part of Guar since the beginning, but has been played by like seven different people, right? So the character's the character, no matter who's wearing the suit.
Right, so that in this way, like it has some sort of an anonymity to it,
Yes,
where
yes.
like you put which so, which is the one that has the giant like
Yeah,
bear
Jaws.
trap? Is that Jaws?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
okay.
that's so that's Ballsack, Jaws of Death. That's his name.
So that's awesome. Okay, because that's one that's like you could easily hide your face because you
Oh
have
yeah.
that
Oh yeah.
giant trap in front of it. But then like which is the one that kind of looks like he has muscles on his face and like a long goatee.
Is that, are you thinking of Odorous Urungus,
I
or
don't know
the,
these names.
or maybe you're thinking of Flatus Maximus? They both kind
So in Empire Records, it's the only one who talks.
yeah, that's Odorous. Yeah,
That's
his
Odorous.
face looks kind of like mashed up meat.
Yes.
Yes, yep, yeah. Yes, that is Odorous. He is the leader. And I don't know if you've ever seen this or if you did it during your research, but let me just say this to you and to your listeners. Do yourselves a favor and go find Odorous Urungus correspondence on Fox News, okay? Because he did
In character,
several in
in the makeup and
character.
everything.
Yes, in the makeup, in character. He did several. There was a late night show on Fox News back in like the early aughts, and he did several appearances on there in character as himself, and it is just gold, absolute gold. You know, like where it's like there's one person head here, just like you and I right now on Zoom, like that. Yeah. So it's like, hey, I'm odorous, you know? Yeah, it's good shit. And it's on YouTube, so
And
definitely check that out.
is he talking like politically or something,
You know,
or?
his political theories are things like, I think we should kill all people and eat their, you know, eat their innards, and I believe that Gwar should rule the world. You know, like those are his political
On Fox
philosophies
News.
on Fox News. Yes.
Well, this is before,
Yeah.
obviously, they shifted to what they are now.
Well, I think, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because there was also like the late night thing, and I don't know, it definitely had a different tone to it than what you know, your grandparents' Fox News.
Yes, the current Fox News.
Yeah,
Oh
yep.
my God. That I was hoping you'd be like, no, he's actually sitting there and talking very seriously about the political structure
Yeah,
of America and everything. Be like, well, I think we should, ban this and
Yeah, right. I
that.
think the war on terror is it's nothing like that. It's just absolute like insanity. I think they also sh they were on Sally Jesse Raphael at one point, which is also available to
Of
watch.
course.
So yes. Which it was like during that sort of like peak of like panic that parents were having with like all the bad music that our kids are listening to is like rotting their brains. And then Gwar comes on there in character. And just out, just madness. It's so good.
Cause like I was hope.
I love this. Like, where do we go?
Well, so like in the boardroom scene, which is like a good chunk of the movie as well.
Yeah,
Like
it is. It
it's
is.
really the boardroom scene, the secret lair, and then the telethon are like the major set pieces of this. In the boardroom scene, though, I kind of like fell off a little bit because it just sounded like they were like, let's get the most hoity-toity words together and
Yes,
have people
yes.
say that. And I was just like, what are you saying? I don't know if you.
Yeah.
I feel like at some point they just used alliteration
Yeah,
to,
yes.
for someone's line.
They definitely like again will probably come up during Sharps and Flats, but that scene is long. And I feel like there's a lot of things that don't land in it. And it's not what you're going, like, even if you know what you're in for with a Gwar movie, it's not what you're there for, right? You're there for what we see in the second half, which is the blood and the guts and, you know, the weird
Buttholes.
face fucking buttholes and vaginas and
Yeah.
all that craziness, you know?
I mean, we had it throughout, really, when they cut back to the telethon and they're
That's
like,
true. That's true.
I mean, they have that whole cooking segment, but
Yes.
I think it's the one you were talking about with like taking the skull, the ripping the face
Yeah.
off and everything. And he's wearing whoever that was, name, I don't
That
know.
was the sex executioner. Yeah, he was the cook.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, of
He's wearing
course.
an apron and a little chef hat, and the apron had something like "I hate Mondays" on it or
Yeah,
whatever.
it's like I hate housekeeping,
I
I think
hate
is what it says.
housekeeping.
Yep.
Yes. And you're like, of course you would. Of course. Of course. I didn't know what I was expecting. And I did chuckle a couple of times, but half the time I was just like, what the f? Like, Simon Estra, does she also have a dick on her costume?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's what's going on there,
Because there was
but
one that had a massive dick, and I don't know who that
yes.
was, but she also had like little blood spots by her crotch. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't want to know, but you're upset when you're a baby of that you lost your tits and okay.
I know that's wild. She does have a great line though when she rips the dude's head off. She's right after she rips it off, she says, "You men give such lousy head." Just
Yes.
chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Great
She's
line.
the sassy McSasserson one of the bunch, it sounds like.
She
And
is. She is.
I'm assuming she has like a lot of those lines in the other movies if she's in
Yeah.
them.
Yes. Yep, she does. She's got to hold her own, you know, with all the sausage fest going on. So
The one woman.
The one woman, I know. But if, you know, you're thinking about it realistically, this was a bunch of college dudes. The fact that they got any woman to go along with this insanity, like, props to them. You know, props to her for being willing to be a part of this.
So Gwar themselves
Yeah.
started in 84. So this is
That's
like
right. 10 years in.
10 years in. So they
Right.
are popular amongst
Their circle.
crowds.
Yeah.
They're,
Yep.
yes.
Yep.
Is th this isn't their first movie though, is it?
No, it's not. They had one before this. Yep.
Okay.
And they had like three albums before this.
Well, yeah, I'm looking that they started. Oh, they had a different name. Or no, Dave Brocky was a part of a different group called Death Piggy.
Yes. They actually also have another band that they have opened for themselves called X Cops. It is them, but in different costumes.
So X Cops, which actually started in here, it looks like. In this
Started.
movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And one, so according to the Wikipedia page, this is the first film in which guitarist Peter Lee plays Flatus Maximus, but he was recovering from a gunshot wound to his stomach. He is seen in one of the commercials as a police officer. It is during the filming of the scene that he and Dave Brocky, the other police officer, came up with the idea for X Cops.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention how he got shot in the stomach, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He had just joined the band though, and then he got shot. Like, I don't know what happened, but
I
you
was
know.
waiting for like this little factoid to be like, so he accidentally got shot during filming.
Nah, he did. There was no shooting during filming. But you know, when you're doing guar things, you know, it's part of the territory. So
So wait a second. Wait, hold on. I'm now registering everything we were just talking about. They opened for themselves as the
Yes.
band X Cops,
Yep.
went off stage, did a costume
Changed.
change, and then
Yep.
came back out as Gwar. And they still do that.
They do. I just saw them last year, this year, actually, earlier this year, and I saw X Cops open for them. So, yes.
So then, as X Cops, are they all in cop uniforms?
Yes, they are. And they like do crazy, crazy, like, you know, really inappropriate things. As you might
What?
expect. I
What do
know, I
you
know.
mean?
Yeah. You know, things like what real cops would do. Oh shit, maybe I shouldn't say that on a show.
Well, I mean,
I
so are ex-cops as like bloody and gory as Gwar? Or
No,
is
it's not
it?
as gory. It's not as gory, but you know, there's a lot of shooting. Like I was shocked. They like start pulling out guns and like shooting each other on stage. I was like, I can't believe that this is happening in 2024. Like, this is wild. It's their sort of like, and here's the thing, right? Like, underneath all the absurdity of both X Cops and Gwar and all of this, they are saying things, right? They are saying things that maybe have some value to them, right? Like, and they say it in a ridiculous, like, hyperbolic sort of way, but you know, it is clear the messaging, I think at least, you know, especially like with something like this movie, like about sort of the homogenization of music and, you know, the capitalist sort of takeover of that world and how it ruins creativity and art and stuff. Now, you know, they do it in the most over the top, ridiculous,
Yeah.
ass backwards way, but that's what they're saying.
And there could be something said about the kid who commits suicide, about how like television is draining your life or something along those lines, where I mean
Yeah,
nowadays with like
yes.
streaming and all that, it's a different story. I mean, we also had the pandemic, so everything is very different than it was back in 1993, 94. But
Yes, yes.
Yes, there is art to this. It's just also covered in blood.
Yes, it is. It is covered
And
in blood and guts and absurdity, right?
with asshole foreheads.
Yeah, you know. I mean, if you don't have at least one asshole forehead in your movie, then what are you even doing? You know?
that is covered by a when she transforms into her more humanoid looking form. There's the jewel that's covering the butthole, and you're like, okay, what is listen, and the fact that they are taking these metal, because Sebastian Bach, it happens to him first, they're taking them to the jizmoglobin,
They're taking out his
out his
jizmoglobin. Right.
jizmoglobin, which, by the way, I have a feeling Mike Myers is a fan of Gwar, because there was a lot of things that Austin Powers stole from this, or like was a trope as well, like when what's his name? Boss Glom is at his chair and he has the different buttons to for things to happen. That's similar in Austin Powers. It felt very much like Dr. Evil.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like what, 10 years, but maybe not 10 years, but like 5 years
5 years
before Dr.
before.
Evil.
And the Jizmaglobin is the mojo that is part of the third movie. I know a lot about Austin
You
Powers,
know a
man.
lot of Austin Powers, like lore.
Hey,
That's
hey,
so
hey, hey!
funny.
When that was on a lot, I am the generation that watched this movie and everyone thought it was okay. Like,
I mean, it was a big thing. Okay, I gotta tell a quick side story, okay, on the Austin Powers thing, if that's
okay,
okay.
that's all right.
Okay, so I used to, and it's Halloween related, and these are sort of your Halloween season episodes, right?
Yes, it is. It
Okay,
is. This is
so
the
I
first one. Happy spooky season, everyone.
look at this. We're leaning into it hard from the drop, right? So I worked at a party store when I was a teenager, and this was before Spirit Halloween came and ruined the market for anyway. That's not the point. We were big, like Halloween was our big season, and it was like all hands on deck and all this stuff. So we had set up our Halloween set, and it like takes over half the store, and it's a really fun and exciting, busy time of the year working there. I get a call from somebody who's like, they tell me I'm 2 hours away. I need to know if you guys have a Mike Myers mask so that 'cause I want to come down and get it.
Which one?
Right. So I don't know that at the time. I'm not thinking about it, right? So I go and I pull the
Austin
Michael
Powers.
Myers mask. No, the
Oh.
Michael Myers Halloween mask. And I say, "Yeah, we do. We have a whole bunch of them." And she's like, "Wow, that's so surprising, but that's great. I'm going to come down. Will you hold one for me? I'm going to come down and get it." Well, I was gone when she got there, but apparently the night manager got an earful and made sure that I got it back because I had set aside a Michael Myers mask and not a Mike Myers mask, which I personally feel like, ask for an Austin Powers mask if that's what you want. Don't
Right.
ask for a Mike Myers. Like, that's nonsense. But anyway, so that's what happened. And so every time after that, I would always make sure to clarify if anybody, Mike Myers, not
Mike
Michael
Myers and Michael
Myers,
Myers.
right? Yeah.
I mean,
That would be a great crossover, though.
it is spooky season. Is there, I can't believe I'm even asking this. Is there one character from Gwar you would like to dress up as for Halloween?
Oh, I would love to dress up as Ballsack, right? The giant jaws on the head and everything.
Which
Yeah, that's so
move?
awesome.
That's the cool thing about that costume. It moves. With
It
it
does.
doesn't move all the time, but obviously they figured out the contraption for it to move. And wait, so for this, do you know if they all fabricated everything themselves, or did they hire like a makeup artist to
Oh, like
do
costume
skull head
designers and
face?
stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so Skullhead Face is animatronic, which I was honestly kind of impressed with, like the eye movement and the facial movement and stuff. Like, I really expected nothing at all. Like, literally just like a stone
Static
face,
head.
exactly. So the fact that there was movement and there was stuff, I was kind of, you can, there's a video I watched where they actually show you the Skullhead Face mask and how it works and all the stuff, which I thought was pretty cool. What was it? Oh, yeah. So I assume that by this point they were bringing in people to help them with like costume design and animatronics and all that stuff. I mean, their live show, dude, like it's unbelievable the shit that they pull on. Like, so the last time we went, and most of the time, at least both times I've seen them, they've done something similar. They bring out this giant dude who's like trying to attack them and stuff, and they like rip off his arms. And then they like cut open his chest and like he's bleeding all over the crowd and it's shooting everywhere. But like this is all happening live on stage. And the fact that they are able to like pull this all off and make all of these contraptions work and shit, I always find very impressive.
So you're saying that their live shows are basically musicals?
You know, maybe that's what we need to do next, John, is we need to
Go
do
to
a
a show.
Guar live show. Yeah, and cover
So
that.
you're gonna take the family and I'll meet you there. And
Okay. I don't know if I told you this, but two of my kids, I took the last time I went and saw Gwar, I took two of my kids. It was one of their first concerts ever. So
please also wait, do
they
they
are
also?
teenagers, by the way.
Oh, that's fine, whatever. Do they also sell the plushies that are in this movie? Please tell me they do, because
No, I want,
I want one of
yeah.
them.
I know they're so the Jaws one is so cool.
The
But
when they cut to the little anime cartoon version of it, I was just like, what
yeah.
the fuck is happening? And then they show you the dolls, and I went, that's merch. Like, that's real merch right
Yeah.
there. I know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they sell them. Otherwise, they just made
I
props
know.
for
They
nothing.
like I don't know if they did at the time. They don't now, but that was another sort of like statement about the industry because that was happening like crazy, right? Like it happened with the Ninja Turtles. Like the Ninja Turtles was a very dark comic that they made into a cartoon so that they could sell toys. I think
Batman.
they did the same thing with Batman. They did the same thing with Beetlejuice. They did the same thing with, I want to say, Terminator 2. There was the Toxic Avenger. Like all these characters that were like not made for children, that they just sort of like ported over to cartoons so they could sell merch.
And then even now, with the Wicked movie that's coming out, that book is nothing like what the show is. And then now they're having like Lego and Barbie and the little golden books and all these tie-ins, and you're like, okay, well, to bring it to also my world, like it's also happening where
Oh yeah.
you're like, oh, you sure you want to turn the orgy
Right.
scene with animals into a whole dance number? Okay.
Yeah. I know, that's wild. That's
Which I'm
wild.
surprised they didn't do that in this, where they had an orgy with animals.
Yeah, that never there was not enough, you know, they wanted to have an orgy with little people. But
Yes.
that just didn't quite happen the way they wanted it to.
No.
It was a trap.
God. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I don't necessarily think so. I am happy to hear, like, I'm happy to hear that you, like, your reaction, like, you said you chuckled a little bit, and then I was worried because I was like, maybe he thought it was, like, just really terrible. But the fact that you were, like, your jaw was on the floor most of the time, or you were like, what the fuck is happening, is so much better than, like, I was so bored. This was so
Oh
dumb.
no, it was also like a oh right, the early 90s were wild when it came to entertainment. And I did read that they originally wanted this to be released in theaters, but the MPAA was like,
It was
you're
like,
getting an
no way.
NC-17. There's no way
There's
you're getting an
literally
R.
no way we could, yeah, you could have to scrap the entire movie to get an R rating. Like this, there's
Although
not happening.
nowadays I think they would get an R rating and be set.
I think it's possible. I mean, there's no nudity.
There's no nudity. There's just a lot of blood and gore, but it's also done very comedically. So
Right,
it's,
right.
and plus, we have all the Saw movies. Like
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
and that's worse because they're literally killing people on screen. This one, they're
Yeah.
dead already.
Yes, that's true.
And then
That's
they're
true.
fighting Skull Headface, which I'm not sure if that's a person or if that's
It's an
another
alien.
alien.
Yeah, it is
Great.
another alien from another planet, vegetarian planet actually, but was ruined by Scumdogians.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't know what I was expecting or getting into, and it's pleasantly surprising how cartoonish it was.
Yeah.
I
It
will say that.
is. Yeah, it is. And I feel like this was the point where they really leaned into that. Because like even if you look at like album covers and stuff before this, they tried to make it look like maybe it was kind of serious. But it was kind of at this point where they really made that pivot toward we're just
What
gonna
about the
be
first movie?
ridiculous. The first movie was more of like it was more of like a live performance, so it
Oh,
wasn't
okay.
like this. Yeah. But the thing that I would say, which is sort of the inverse of what you're saying, the first time I saw Gwar, I hadn't listened to them a lot because I had never taken them very seriously because they dress up in costumes. Like, how serious could they be, right? But the first time I saw them, I was blown away. Like, it is solid thrash metal. If you're into thrash metal, like, they're good. And they do this live with these ridiculously huge, heavy costumes on. Like, Ballsack is their guitar player. He wears that giant fucking thing on his head. Oh, I'm allowed to swear, right? We've
Of
talked about
course, yeah. Fuck yeah.
vagina faces. All right. So, but
Oh,
yeah, he wears, right? Like, we're past that, right?
way past.
But he plays guitar with that thing on his head and he plays it well. Like, they are good. I was shocked at how good their music was. And after going to see them live the first time I saw them, I went back and listened to their catalog. And honestly, this Toilet Earth, the album that coincides with this movie, is a really good album. It also contains Sodom a Go-Go, which is the song that's in Empire Records and is a killer song.
So
So,
I didn't realize from Empire Records they were a real band. I thought it was just a bit.
yeah,
And
right.
then I was told, no, they're a real band. And I went, oh, that's a lot of work for a bit.
Yeah. It is like they like the end product is really goofy and really like over the top and absurd. But if you think about the amount of work and like creativity that goes into it between creating the music, creating the lore, creating the costumes, a lot of which they did on their own for the most part for a
For the
long
first
time.
while, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's very impressive. They were a bunch of theater kids, and this was their way of sort of like this was their expression, which is a ridiculous, unique, like absurd expression, but it's something that no one else had ever done. And here we are 40 years later. They're still touring, they're still releasing albums. They're, you know, it's
Yeah.
still a lot of fun.
Although I am surprised it took them 10 years to look at each other and go, oh, we're funny. Like,
Yeah, right. I
like
mean, I think they
that would
always,
be like day two for me. Be like,
yeah,
oh,
right. Like,
your
oh,
name
this
is
is silly.
Ballsack and
Yeah.
you have a bear trap as your face. Come on, guys. Let's
I think earlier on the goal was to be a little silly, but also maybe to be a little like horror oriented. And then they just
Okay.
kind of realized like that's
They
not
leaned into
a
the camp.
thing.
Yeah.
They were like, this is just silly, and let's lean that way. And that I feel like that decision to go that way served them well.
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
Let's do it.
we?
Let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Let's start with flats because I really only have two of them, to be
Okay. All
honest.
right. Yes.
The
Well, let's hear what you.
first one is for the racism.
Yeah.
The lawn jockey with the black face.
The lawn. Yes.
Come
Yes.
on. And then also
That's rough.
the one member, the board member who is supposed to be Asian, that I don't think they actually cast somebody, a person of
Yeah, that
color.
person looked very much like just a generic white dude.
And the first time he started talking, they were doing like kung fu noises behind his speech, and I was just like, that wasn't right. That wasn't right even back then.
That was rough. Now let me ask you this question though. Is it like a statement about those kinds of things? Like, were they being racist to be funny as like racist jokes, or were they being racist to call out like the racism that exists in that space?
So obviously in the boardroom, they have people representing the different genres. They met, I mean, also they meant the one black person mentioned adding scratches and he'll sell it to the hip hop crowd. And I'm like, okay, well, that's light, that's still racist there. And we're gonna add you're gonna be folded in. But I think them going the extra mile with the noises and things really pushed it over the edge for me. Although I think it's a little bit of both, where they were doing the racist joke, and obviously we didn't have the conversation as we currently are still going through about comedy and everything. But also, I feel like there may have been some sort of commentary because the other members there represent the different genres, or there was the Russian guy representing Europe, I think, or something, or like international sales. So I'm gonna say it's both.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think satire is a tough space because you get into a dangerous spot of like when you're trying to mock a thing, maybe you're doing the thing. And like the boardroom scene, the way I understood that is like big conglomerate corporate capitalist entities break everyone down to just stereotypes. And so all we care about in our Asian market is they like kung fu movies. All black people like rap music, all, cowboys like country music and so on and so forth. And so I thought that was kind of what they were trying to say. But to your point, like it's also kind of distasteful and it gets a little tricky and it gets into some muddy waters that are, I think it's hard for a band like Gwar to not to like tread that line and sometimes step in the wrong direction.
Right. And it's also 30 years ago, which we have. I mean, there's always the caveat that we're watching it now. We've lived through different things. This is very static because it is of the time, but I'm calling it out for what it is. But you got to give me that lawn jockey. There is no way around that one.
That was awful. Awful.
Like, they gave it was blackface. It was black. The fact that the maid in that scene was like a voodoo priestess, fine, whatever. We're okay with that because, it was Gwar. They're little. That's the satire. But the lawn jockey with the white around the lips and the eyes, I was just like, you guys, this wasn't even okay back then.
No,
This wasn't even
no.
okay during vaudeville when it was happening. Like.
Yeah, it's rough for sure. I agree.
And then my last flat, okay, go with me on this, is for Skullhead Face's design, the mouth, like it's impressive what they did. I just feel like they needed more time because the mouth was just so out of sync. And
It's true.
I mean, it was funny, but it also wasn't at points where I'm like, you're giving like a Shakespearean monologue right now, but your mouth is barely moving.
No, I agree.
Just the
It's
mouth,
funny.
though. The rest of the design is fine. It's just like I think they either bit off more than they can chew, or they just needed a little extra time to figure out the kinks.
Bit off more than they could chew with a mouth reference. That's very good.
I didn't even realize that.
But no, I agree with you. And I don't know if this was like part of it or not, but I do know that they had gotten a legitimate record deal with, I think it was MGM or it was somebody, who was supposed to be funding this movie and the This Toilet Earth release. There is a song on This Toilet Earth, I think, which is called like Baby Dick Fuck or BDF, I believe.
BDF, yeah.
Yeah, which they were, I think it was MGM. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, we're not, you can't, that song can't be on there. And they were like, well, no, it has to be. And they were like, if it is, like, we're not, like, we're dropping you. And then they had to have like a serious conversation among the band, and then they finally were like, no, we're doing it. And so they stuck with it. They were dropped by the label. I'm guessing all of their funding got pulled. And so I have a feeling that this movie was designed with a much bigger budget in mind. I think if they had known like what they were working with, maybe it would be a different movie. But in a lot of ways, I think the lack of budget serves the camp well. But I think to your point, it's like if your face is just static, especially your mouth, it's like if you're gonna make an animatronic face, like make the mouth move. Like that seems like the number one like thing that you'd want to move more than the eyes or anything else. But
I mean, the eye movement was pretty cool and interesting. It's
yeah.
just that it took me out sometimes. And it's like it's not the worst thing, because I mean, obviously there's other properties around this time and even to this day when they deal with animatronics that things
Yeah.
don't go well.
Right.
So
Right.
it's just it's just a thing.
Yep. Yep.
But I wish that they either like leaned more into the camp and like
Yep.
had some sort of justification for it. But I digress. What do you have any flats for this?
Yeah, I mean my biggest flat, and this is like larger like problem that I feel like with the movie, and I talked about it earlier. The boardroom scene takes up too much of the movie. Like, I appreciate what they're doing there. I appreciate what they're saying there. I appreciate a lot of the humor there, but to your point, a lot of it's pretty distasteful as well. Like distasteful in a way that's not fun. But ultimately, like you could cut a lot of that stuff out and fill that space with more blood and guts and, you know, whatever random face fucking or whatever that you want
Or
to do.
songs, just like,
Or songs, yeah, that would be a exactly.
'cause there is music, but there's not
Yep.
songs. And like during the fight with, I forgot what it's called again.
The flesh column.
The flesh column, yes. Like
Yeah.
that music was cool and it was everything, but I was like, is this from a song or is this just you
Yeah.
guys playing?
Right, right.
I mean, that I guess that's another flat of mine that I don't know when the songs are
Yeah,
or
yes.
it doesn't seem like, 'cause I found a list of 16 songs that are from the album
Yeah.
that I thought, well, I mean, it says it's in tandem with the album, so
With
that's
the
got to
album,
be in there,
right.
right?
Yeah, not
But
so much now. And that's gonna actually be my second flat, which is Sodom and Go-Go is not in this movie, and that's the best song off their album, maybe my favorite of their songs in general. So, yeah, that movie that should have been a featured song in this movie.
well, because that was the song of the album, I'm assuming.
I mean, that is the song that, like, if you go on to like Spotify, it has like 10 times more listens than any other song on the album. You know,
Wow.
it's like in the
So
hundreds of millions. Yeah.
that's an understatement, I said.
Yeah, it is definitely it's their probably their biggest song period. And it's such a fun song. It's got like trumpets in it, and I mean it's the song in Empire Records. It's such a great
I have
song.
to
And
re-listen to it.
for it to be a
Oh
feature song
no,
on
I
the
have to
album and
rewatch Empire Records.
God,
Darn.
that movie's so good. So good.
Right.
You kept talking about that scene, and I just like wanted to like quote Mark when he's like, "I love you, Eddie." When he's like, when
I
it's happening, he's like, "This is the best."
love you, Eddie.
Exactly.
Any other flats?
Those were the two really that bother me, other than what you mentioned. Oh, I should t tack on to like your like what you said about like the racism. I had a hard time hearing them repeatedly use the word midget. Now I get that like that was part of the
Oh,
bit,
yeah.
but like that is a rough word. And again, I think it's another one of those like it's
Because it's stuck in time.
exactly.
That's the word they used, and they didn't have the conversation as
Exactly.
we have
Yep.
over time. All right, let's get into sharps.
Yeah.
So I sharped the stupidity.
Yeah.
A lot of the
Yeah.
stupidity of this movie is stupid. That's the best way I could describe it in like a sentence. I'm also sharping Sleazy P. Martini's costumes and his
Oh,
wig.
yes. The
That
hat, or
wig,
yeah, the hair.
that, and I'm using wig loosely because it's plastic,
It's
basically.
a hat, basically. Yeah. A helmet, maybe.
But like the what he wore in the court in the boardroom, and then the flashback with the leopard coat and the
Yes.
leopard suit, and oh God, it was chef's kiss. Like, this is camp. This is the
Yes,
camp.
yes. Yeah.
I
Yeah, no,
also
he's awesome.
sharped how like every member, and now learning about that they have a whole cast of people, get some
Yep.
sort of spotlight. It's not
Yeah.
just Balzac
Clitoris. Yeah. Yeah.
or what's the other one that
Clitoris.
Odorous. Yeah, it's not
Yep.
just them that get the lines. Like,
Yep.
we have Slymenstra being the sassy meta sort of one. Beefcake gets a whole like romance that he.
Yeah.
Yes.
You feel kind of sad for him, how that all happens, you know?
I'm a little sad that he accidentally killed the lover.
I
But yeah. And then my last sharp is for more beer. Because
Yeah.
it
The
took me a while to realize, no, more is the name of
brand. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
the beer.
That's
Like,
awesome.
okay, I'm here for all of that.
Yes.
What were your sharps?
Okay, first of all, I gotta shout out Sebastian Bach. That dude shows up in the most random fucking places, and the fact that he's in this movie is like just exactly, you know, I've seen he's in Trailer Park Boys. He's in fucking Gilmore Girls.
I was
Like,
hoping
you
you
know.
would know that. Yeah,
Yeah.
he plays
Yes.
a guitarist in Gilmore Girls. He basically
Yeah,
plays
and
himself.
exactly, right? He's like washed up and he's in like his niece's band or something. So, yeah.
No, he
No?
joins the local band town band and but he owns a sandwich shop.
Okay,
That's
that's
his
what it
day job, but
is.
he wants to rock and he's trying to
Yes.
get there, and this Hep Alien is the name of the band. Thank you very much.
Look at you go. Look at you go. I remember watching Gilmore Girls with my wife, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Sebastian Bach. He's just, if I went to the grocery store tomorrow and saw Sebastian Bach, I'd be like, yeah, that checks out. Like, he's
He's
just
just
fucking everywhere.
everywhere.
Yeah. So the fact that he was in this, and also they do a countdown when they're pulling out his jizmaglobin, and they're like, 25, 21, 18 in life to go. Which is one of Skid Row's songs. So I thought that was a good little meta joke there.
I missed a lot of the nuances, I guess, of this movie. And
Well,
I will say that.
it's not a very nuanced movie, so I think that's fair. There is a lot, if you listen to the dialogue, there's a lot you realize like there was a lot of thought put into like a lot of the jokes. Whether it was good thought or good jokes is in a whole nother conversation. but yeah, that, and then like I gotta give this movie high praise for the gore. Like, for low budget gore, I just thought they killed it. Like the rip, like there's one scene in particular that I really love, which is they're at the telethon and they have a guy there who's getting ready to be sacrificed to the world maggot, and they've got his kind of chest ripped open already, and then they're like, all right, another meat bag for the world maggot, and they start like ripping his like guts out and stuff, and I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I signed up for. This is gore. This is like what I want to see. And there's a lot of that, like when they rip the head open and then they like, oh my God, they take like the intestines and they like squeeze the shit out. Oh my
They
God, it's
squeeze
so
shit
nasty.
into the
So
skull.
nasty. But just like, look, to your point, the stupidity, if you view the stupidity as a sharp, you'll love this movie.
Of course, yeah.
If you don't, like, this is not going to be in your wheelhouse.
Also, it's stupid. Like,
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So realizing, oh, they're being silly in all of these
Yeah.
costumes
Yeah.
and makeup and everything. Like,
Yeah.
okay, we're here. We're in for it. It
Yes.
is
Yes.
gory, but it's stupid.
Yes, it
Any other
is.
sharps?
Nah, I think that'll do it for now.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? If you don't already have the album on it, I'm going to be very upset with you.
Yeah, no. I love this Toilet Earth. I don't know if we can say Sodom and Gogo. It's not in the movie. It's in the album, but that's an absolute banger. If you've never heard Gwar, that's the song to listen to. But I'm also a big fan of Eat Steel, The Issue of Tissue, both great songs. I mean, just Gwar is like, if you like thrash metal, like they're really, really good. And if you've been sleeping on them because you think they're too silly, like go listen. 'Cause like they are really good thrash metal.
The insidious soliloquy of Skull Fit Headface. I was just like, oh, they're making fun of musicals. I get it. I understand it. That I'm not adding. If anyone knows what the song is that is played during the fight scene, that's the one I want to add.
I'll figure that out after we get
Yes. If
off.
or if or if or if you, the listener,
Yeah.
knows what it is, let me know. But on that note, Dan, we're done with the episode. We did Skull Head
Oh
Face.
man. I'm so, I love that I brought you down into the dregs like this, into just the absolute trash. But it feels like you had fun with it, and that was the goal.
Oh man, I mean, I watch all movies, so
Yep.
this is also in my wheelhouse. It's just something that I haven't seen before, and obviously it's very 90s. So
Yes, it
there's
is.
a
It
lot of
is.
things that I'm like, oh.
Yeah. In fact, it's so 90s that I own it on VHS. So,
Shit.
yeah,
It's so
that's how I
90s.
watched
I
it.
found it on YouTube.
Yeah. Gwar, listen, that's
For
another thing to tell your
free.
listeners. You can watch it on YouTube legally. Gwar has it on their YouTube channel. So, it
Did I
is
watch
fully
it on the
legal.
Gwar? I don't even know if I watched it on the Gwar YouTube channel.
Well,
Oh, I'm
you
pretty sure I
can.
did.
Yeah, see? So that's fully legitimate. If you watch it on
Yeah,
DVD
I
or
watched it
you.
on the Gwar YouTube channel, so
Yeah,
it's.
see? It's fully legit. Fully legit. But if you watch it on DVD or VHS, it does have the music videos from the album on it, which includes the music video for Sodom and Go-Go. And the scene, essentially, the soliloquy of Skullhead Face is just
Is the
that
music
scene.
video.
That's the music video. Yeah.
Yeah. But Dan, what do you have to plug or promote besides getting the VHS of Skullhead Face?
Yeah. I have a podcast. It's called The Movie Cellar. I feel like that's a bit of a misnomer at this point because we talk about all kinds of things. Lately, I have been having guests on from my time playing a live reality game called Can You Survive? Which is a survivor style game that we played over 5 days. But I have all my castmates coming in to talk about their experiences playing the game. So that's been a lot of fun. I also do Free Fridays. Every Friday, there are mini episodes where I tell people about free stuff that they can watch on like Tubi or YouTube, like Skullhead Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
But
that's
would
what
that
I'm
be
doing.
on Free Fridays or Metal Mondays or both?
Well, there's also Metal Mondays, and it could be on. So Metal Mondays, I try to feature, those are once a month, and I try to feature upcoming or recent releases. So
Okay.
unfortunately, as a something that dropped in 94, it might not make
What? You
the
don't want to include a 30-year-old movie on your.
If I could find a way. I will say this though, I have covered Skullhead Face on my podcast. So if anybody wants to hear further thoughts of mine on Skullhead Face, you can go back to the archives and find
And
that.
I don't know if you know the name of that song that I said earlier. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Should we do another
Are
Guar movie?
you asking me or are you asking the audience?
Yes, I'm asking
Yeah.
everyone. Maybe I'll make a poll to see which one we should do next or
Yes.
something. I don't know.
Yes, that would be so fun. I would love to hear if people were, like dig this. I mean, it's obviously not the norm of stuff you do on the show, but I think
It
it's a lot of
actually
fun.
kind of is because
Yeah,
like
okay.
there's some episodes we do where it's clearly not a musical where
Right,
like
right.
by basic definition of a musical, the music is supposed to help propel the scenes and move and story forward, and it's just you
Right.
have so much emotion that you sing it instead of
Right,
saying it.
right,
And then if
right.
you have even more emotion, you dance it.
Yep.
But this one, that's why I'm like, is this a music video? Is
Yeah.
it something? I mean, and again, there's not a lot of songs in it to consider it
Yep.
being like a like the Beyoncé video album or something.
Right. Or like what we did before where we talked about The Wall, which
Yes.
I was kind of interested in. We didn't get to this, but like, you know. That felt like we were kind of both disappointed by it. This you obviously couldn't be disappointed by. You had no idea what was going in. And I had seen it a couple times and you know talked about it even before. But you know, I feel like I'm gonna say this, this is what if a band makes a video or a film to go with their album, this is closer to what I would love to see than The Wall.
Okay. Well, that might be the last
Hot
quote I
take.
pull.
Yeah.
And be like I said earlier in the episode, this is spooky season. We're in spooky season, everyone. So if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, we're gonna be switching gears so hard. And we'll be talking about Stranger Sings, a musical parody.
Ooh, that sounds fun. It's a parody of Stranger Things.
Yeah, it is. It is
Okay.
hilarious.
Nice.
Dan, thank you so much for coming back on.
Anytime.
You are welcome to come back. This isn't going to
All
tarnish
right.
our
Yeah.
relationship, I will say.
Yeah. This is not getting me shunned.
No, we had a fun
You're
chat and
not
everything.
gonna feed me to the world maggot?
Only if you want to, because we like
Okay.
consent. We like
That's
to have
right.
consent here.
That was part of the telethon, right? It was all consensual.
It was
So.
all consensual, but they didn't obviously say that because that wasn't a word really used a lot back then.
At the time, yep,
Yes.
fair.
And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.